You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au. Seems like a distant dream. When the horizons of your life are flat and bleak and threatening, come aboard and welcome. When faces in the street seem blank and hard and indifferent, when you think love of neighbor is a sham sold to tourists, come aboard this wayward ship of fools. Fools who seek the far shores of compassion and freedom and a better world. We might look lost. We are not lost. We are exploring. We light our chalice today for all those foolish enough to chart an open course. Good morning and welcome to this service of worship. It is a service because it means to serve you. And it is worship because it means to serve you by raising to worth things that matter. My name is Rob McPherson, the minister of this church, and I welcome you here on behalf of generations of Unitarians who've worshipped in similar gatherings in South Australia since 1854. We are a spiritual community that encourages and supports all who come to find, to fashion, and most importantly, to follow their own spiritual course. Any course that helps you see more clearly, love more abundantly, and work toward a better world for all. You're invited to kick on with us afterwards for coffee, tea, and conversation. In my last week of ministry training in the UK, I was saying goodbye to a bunch of people, Dean Row Church. Isn't it lovely? Where I'd spent the year as a student pastor, they're a well-established church with a, you know, sort of an upper-middle-class congregation in rural Cheshire. In many ways, a lot like this church. They'd asked me to stay on as their full-time minister, but staying in the UK was going to be impossible for all sorts of personal reasons. Besides, I was already committed to coming back here to do this work. So for a few winter months, was it 7 years ago now, I felt I was sort of adrift between places, at sea, as they used to say, hence the nautical music today. And it was at this time I had this vivid dream in which they, the Dean Row folks, and you, were all in it together, all mixed up. Sometimes it was their faces, sometimes it was yours, sometimes nobody I knew but felt somehow I would know one day. You know how it is in dreams. We were all out, all of us, sailing the open sea. It's a perfect day, warm but not hot, with cobalt skies and a steady and gentle wind luffing the sails. And all our friends are with us, people we're at ease with, whose company we enjoy. Familiar faces, shared histories. There's going to be laughs. The day is going to be easy. We've all brought a wonderful lunch to share with plenty of delicious food and choice wine. But the best part is the boat itself. This is an old grand sailing ship we're on. Real wood, brass fittings and canvas sails, smells of tar and varnish and salt. Generations of people have loved and preserved this boat, polished the brass to a gleam, trimmed the sails taut, and scrubbed the wooden deck with what they used to call holy stones to give it secure footing. This ship has an authenticity and a dignity born out of history and tradition. And you know how in a dream there are sort of jumps in the story because suddenly we're out of the sheltered harbor and we're scudding away. The sails have filled and the boom is aslant the deck. And the boat glides effortlessly, slicing through the blue water, heading into an equally blue horizon. And on that horizon where sea meets sky, some dark spots take shape just on the edge of vision. So we get out the spyglass and we look. It's people. People in the water. And they're splashing about. And a voice from our ship calls, "Oh, look, they're having as much fun as we are today. Isn't it lovely?" We see that they're waving, so we all wave back. Someone calls out, "Lovely day for it." We're all looking, leaning against the rail, drinks in one hand, shielding our eyes with the other, and gradually, what we kind of knew becomes undeniable. These people are at sea, drowning. Their splashing is actually struggle. What seems to be waving is in fact beckoning. We are silent for a while on deck, knowing what this will mean for the lovely outing and the delicious lunch we had planned with all our friends in this venerable old ship of ours on this perfect blue day. And then suddenly, shoo, we're huddled in each other's faces, having the committee meeting from hell. A voice says, "Well, how the hell did they get there in the first place? They've only got themselves to blame. People need to take responsibilities for themselves." Another voice said, "But, you know, it is the Coast Guard's responsibility, not ours. I'm sure the Coast Guard will be here soon. This is a job for a proper government agency." And another voice says, "Well, where the devil is Surf Life Saving when you need them? They get government money. Plus, they raise millions every year as a non-government organization." The consensus of all the babble seems to be that we're not really equipped to deal with this. It's the state's job. It's an NGO's job. It's what we pay taxes and make donations for. But where is the rescue? We scan with our spyglass 360 degrees around the rim of the flat blue world, and it's only us, our ship, as far as the eye can see. Some few on the deck deal with the babble of argument by assuming a lotus position and begin going, "Om." Others go to the rail and look, and we see that there now appear to be fewer heads above the rippling water. The urgency of the situation hits us hard and sudden like a freak wave. A voice says, look, there's simply not enough room in the ship. How do we decide how many we take and which? Our supplies are limited. We surely don't have enough to go around." And another voice says, "Plus, they obviously don't know about being on a ship like this. They won't know when to stand, or when to sit, or where. They're obviously not sailing people that they wouldn't be in the water." Another voice says, "Plus, even if we do let them on, there are more of them than us. They might want to take over the boat, and they obviously don't know how to run a boat. Just look at them. They'll want to help sail, and they'll run us on the rocks or sink us for sure. Hey, we don't really even know if they're good people." And in this dream, I kind of pull back from the discussion and see us all from above debating back and forth, some of us saying, "Look, it's up to us. If not us, who? If not now, when?" And others going, no, stick to the course. You have to be practical." And some are still fighting to remain their bliss, going, "Om." And from above, I also see at the same time out on the horizon, fewer heads, less splash, less wave, until finally there's nothing. They're gone. Only the expanding horizon of water and sky and the sound of the breeze that moves us ever onward. And I hear a voice speak above the waters, "Leave your nets and follow me, and I will make you fishers of women and men." Back on deck, we stare out, still straining to see any sign of life, and some voice breaks the silence. "You know what? I'll bet they're okay. Maybe they swam off over the horizon where we can't see, and somebody else got them. Hey, you don't know that didn't happen. I'll bet they're fine. Who's up for a refill?" And our lovely and venerable old ship sails gently on into our perfect blue day. Every church asks itself at some point, what is the purpose of this vehicle? What are we for? Who are we for? Are we servants, or are we just self-serving? These are questions that I hope will guide our branding jam later today as we begin a discernment to align our public identity with our shared corporate mission. For we are a part of the wider world out there, where people may need us, and to whom we do have something unique and good to offer. just like a ship that bears us all, where our hearts can hear a different call. Psychologists say that you are all parts of your dream. All the characters, all the setting, the props, the story itself. Well, where else would it all come from other than your own head? The multiple points of view and characters are different aspects of yourself talking to each other, trying to make sense of and process your complex experience so you can go on living a sane waking life. The general consensus is that dreams help us resolve these inner tensions and complexities of finding yourself cursed with consciousness in a world you did not make or ask to be in, with others just like you. I had the dream of us and Dean Rowe and the tall ship years ago when I was between two worlds, but its issues are perennial. You don't need to be Freud to figure out what the dream means. The boat is our Unitarian church. The people in the water are the unchurched, those who are faithless, those without community, those tossed about by life, multitudinous and nameless, longing for meaning and direction in fellowship, people we often leave to their fate, or to the state, people in genuine but perhaps unacknowledged need of a church like ours with a broad and spacious deck, a deck that's not crammed with a cargo of dogma, superstition, hierarchy, or a blood-soaked historical past. We've stowed all that. We've scrubbed our decks clean. Ours is a fine old ship. And yet, sometimes I feel I can't bear the certain knowledge that our denomination has the best religious news in town and almost no one knows about us. When you talk to the unchurched, you quickly discover that Unitarianism, far from being a fringe movement, is actually representative of mainstream liberal values and behaviors. Ones many ethical people hold, rational, compassionate, willing to envision and model and build a better world where there is justice and peace and where no soul is left unmoored. Why are we so unknown? I mean, I had a whole hour recently with a reasonably competent and experienced local journalist who had not the slightest idea who we were. I was at pains to clarify what sort of church we were and were not, and yet in his one-minute news story that went to air, even he identified us to all of Adelaide as a Christian church. We are not a Christian church, or something even Christians will tell you. I texted him in a hurry to air a correction. Oh, too late, too hard. The fickle ADHD hand of the media writes, and having writ, moves on. And our history in this city seems to be being forgotten. You get an extra biscuit if you can tell me where that plaque is. Nope. But we were not born yesterday. We were not invented by some spiritual dilettante with time on their hands on the back of a cocktail napkin. Unitarianism does stand for certain things that are different from what other such vehicles stand for. How do we make clear to a seeking public who we are and what and who we're for? There's nothing wrong with our identity. There's nothing wrong with who we are in our essence. Just that it's been kept like the proverbial light under the bushel. Few who need it know about it. This reading, it's given by Pauline today, may remind us that purpose and direction cannot be left to drift, but can only be charted by a shared intention.
The reading is The Winds of Fate by Ella Wheeler Wilcox. One ship drives east and another west with the selfsame winds that blow. 'Tis the set of the sails and not the gales which determine the way they go. Like the winds of the sea of the ways of fate, as we voyage along through life, 'tis the set of the soul that decides the goal and not the calm or the strife.
Thanks, Pauline. 'Tis the set of the sails and not the gales which tells us the way to go. Trimming sails on a sailing ship is a group effort. So there must be a collective sense, a kind of we consciousness to which individual preference must be subordinate. And this is precisely where our churches, our Unitarian churches, lose direction and drift aimlessly, sometimes for decades. The ship of the British church, by and large, is foundering because each and all of the sailing hands cannot stop having the perpetual committee meeting called What I Want My Unitarianism to Look Like. It's no wonder that direction is lacking, because that isn't mission, that's not church, that's consumerism. And to be fair, we're all to a degree shaped by our consumer culture. But subordinating that self-serving urge to serving a greater good than our individual tastes and preferences is precisely where the struggle to fashion our 21st century public identity will be won or lost. The trimming of a ship's sails requires balancing competing forces of current, tide, wind, and the physics of rigging. Fashioning a collective identity for a church is very like this. There are lots of forces and factors that need to be balanced. And this little graphic gives the traditional breakdown of the multiple forces that both pull and push churches. Both the needs of current members and those who are not but may yet be must be balanced. The church must respond both to the needs of the present and be moving toward the better future we hope to shape. And so, as you see from the grid, the cross combination of those two axes yield four directions like compass points, each of them worthy, each of them worshipful. But if you emphasize too much any one area, you restrict the full range of your movement and thus of your catchment. For a sense of belonging and cohesion, we want it to be our place, full of folks we already know and like, a sort of club that benefits its members. That's fair enough. But we also want to transcend our own lives through our shared activities. That's the sanctuary part. And from our ruggers to our cooking group to our bush care to the lowering of the wall outside to our social justice advocacy, we want to have an impact on people outside our club. That's the activism and outreach. And we also want our values that we hold dear, spread and projected into the future, to have the power of prophecy, the better world we envision, the world we hope for, the world we pray for, hopefully vote for, and hopefully work toward. Have we drifted too much one way? Has a certain compass point dominated our direction? In my 20 years here as a congregant and minister, my abiding sense is that we have tended to tack most strongly northwest rather than southeast. Northwest rather than southeast. Tendency. This has been the drift of our little microculture, learned over the repetition of generations and those who have put themselves forward to make decisions about the set of our sails. Have we been setting them on a course that wisely balances all of these areas? If not, it may help if we all agree where we're heading, what our aim is, what our mission is. So I dug up this mission statement from 1993. Now, think a moment. That is a whole generation and three ministries ago. It's refreshingly other-centered. It's not real. It's really not too bad. The thing is, we get caught up in the day-to-day and we can forget why we're doing what we're doing, what the point of it all is. Maybe if we keep these two documents I've shown you handy during our branding jam later today, we might avoid drifting into the doldrums where we can't tell service from self-serving. Our immediate goal for the future is to try to let people know of our existence. Fail. But the rest of it's not too bad. The dream of the church as a ship has never left me all these years, and it is a goad sometimes, and it is a scourge at other times, and sometimes a beatific vision, and sometimes a pain in the ass. But it keeps me focused. The best part is that it reminds me what I'm doing here. Part of the way dreams work, you know this, is that they vector off into alternate plot lines and consider different endings simultaneously, like the way Hollywood test markets multiple narratives of films before they release them. Or maybe it's just my dreams that work like that. Because in an alternate plot line of the dream, it is I who am in the water, me, among others, waving, splashing, with the salt water stinging my eyes and gurgling down my throat. And just as I am about to sink, I see something wonderful. The beautiful ship tacks around. Its boom swings into the wind, luffs for a moment, and then balloons out, its sails filling, and the boat plunges toward me, its bow bearing down into the surge, and in another jump cut, I'm being hauled onto the deck like an 85-kilogram tuna, saved. Saved by you. By you. In the same way, every one of you has been brought onto the spacious deck of this church. You too were out there in the water once, as I was. When I showed up on this church's horizon 20 years ago, nobody here knew me from Adam. I was not from round here. I had a funny accent, an unknown theology, and my citizenship papers were not entirely in order. And as far as the church knew, I could have been anyone. I could have said or done anything. I could have sown discord. I could have eaten all the food for myself. I could have upset the equanimity of this ship of fools. The church could not have known it would prove to be otherwise. And yet, this happy vessel welcomed this stranger, took me as it found me, and thought the best of me. And I dare say, in doing so, the church felt good too. It always feels good to help others and welcome in the lost and seeking. So I speak to you, not as the captain of this ship, but by somebody who's been salvaged by it. I have found welcome here and purpose, and so I know others may find welcome and purpose here. If the church can do this for this grateful stranger and feel good about it, it can do it for others you've not met yet and feel even better about it. And there is something vital and practical in it for us, too, besides simple integrity. If you want a viable future together, the church needs direction, not drift, and a balanced approach to chart the course. This will lead to growth, and growth to renewal, and the cycle will begin again someday, when the young are now the old-timers. But for now, just be bold. Drop the nets that enmesh you. Go out and gather them in. I guarantee you this, the future church is out there just as we were once, in the tides and the cross currents of life's mainstream. Amen.
We hope you enjoy this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianSA@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.